Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, it's Ian and Mark. Hi, yo. Yo, hi. Hey, yo. Hey, yo. Hey, yo. We're going to talk about the 1989 Joe Dante film. Joe Dante is the one that did all those fun movies in the 80s, like Inner Space and The Howling and Gremlins 1 and Gremlins 2, The New Batch. And,
You are correct, sir.
A few other films of varying degrees of 80s goodness and I guess 90s goodness as well. The kind of guy that can make a really ridiculous dolly shot work in those 80s and smash zooms and stuff. He can just kind of have fun with camera work and Dutch angles and stuff, and it's but he makes it work. This is one of those I was lamenting that Tom
Wendy
Hanks
Shaw made it work.
Oh my god. I was lamenting that this is sort of back in Tom Hanks' heyday, as far as I'm concerned.
She's 56 now.
Yeah, blank. Yeah. She's 56.
Blank.
Is the Wendy Shaw, Rumsfeld's wife, played Rumsfeld as Denny.
Bruce Dern
as the military guy, which they perpetually remind you of by using the Patton music all over the time, constantly. Well, yeah, Tom Hanks' heyday doing, it was this and Money Pit and Dragnet and...
Turner and Hooch
and Joe versus the Volcano. A lot of fantastic Tom Hanks movies.
Bachelor Party.
Indeed. So, I don't know. Splash?
Splash. Yeah, that was really... I think that's what he broke out.
It might just be. Anyway, Carrie Fisher's in this also, and then some guy that's been in side
looking
roles.
Looking scrumptious as well.
I guess.
Well, yeah. Half the party anyway.
Yeah, half the party. The guy that cuts the power in Die Hard is in it.
Rick Dukeman.
Yeah, it's like a pretty substantial role. And I mean,
who got wasted in The Last Boy Scout.
That's right.
And got muscled around by Johnson & Johnson in
Die Hard. He cuts the power in Die Hard. Or it's your job.
And was the pilot in The Hunt for Red October.
He was the pilot in that. That's right. That was weird. I thought that was strange. Yeah. His career kind of never really went anywhere major. I feel too kind of bad for him. Maybe he made it work. I don't know. I didn't IMDb him. I IMDb'd a bunch of the other people. And like you said, Wendy Shaw, the hot MILF, I guess. Though she wasn't a mother.
Yeah,
they didn't have kids.
No.
What would you call that? Is it like a wolf?
A wolf?
Like a woman? Because, you know, now she's a woman, not really a
girl.
Well,
at that time, let's see, she would have been 35.
Yeah.
That's only 6 years older than us.
Yeah, but we're old now, too. We should be looking for women, not girls, let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah, what constitutes a woman?
I don't know. They're probably older than 26.
Older than 26. Nah, 21. 21 and out.
Oh, okay. Fine. Well, in that case, we definitely
Or you could do a rolling 6 years, you know, if you want.
The rolling 6 years is okay.
Rolling six years.
Okay. So rolling 6 years, yeah. She's a wilf.
With the 80s big hair.
So it's not ridiculously big, but pretty big, yeah.
It's not Jersey big.
She's the voice of Francine on American Dad, which is kind of weird. Corey Feldman, the Feldman, breaks the fourth wall at the end of this, like in the way that only Donatello can. And it was Wisteria Lane, yeah. The universal backlot that they used for such many movies and television shows such as Desperate Housewives, which you probably had to watch with Nicole, I'm assuming?
No.
Oh, good for you. You avoided that. Dodged that bullet?
I dodged that bullet.
Good.
I never had to watch Grey's Anatomy either.
Woohoo! Wow. You'd be calling it Grey's by now if you did.
Grey's?
Hating every minute of your life, probably.
Grey's and hating? I don't get it.
We got Grey's tonight. Sorry, I can't do anything. I got Grey's tonight with the wife.
Yeah.
That'd be the way. Yeah. Anyway, so the Burbs.
Do I get cornbread with that?
Cornbread. And some ribs that you can just take out of the fridge and eat cold, like
Rick Dukeman. He was the man. I mean, shit.
You mean Blank?
I think my favorite was his portrayal of Skip, the homicidal.
Yeah, his portrayal of Skip. I'm not really Skip. Like in the dream. I'm just pretending to be Skip. The dream is weird. This movie, like, I remember it being funnier, and I feel like I liked it better
it's a when I was younger.
It kind of is, but it's really kind of morbid and cynical, too. The whole angle with the skulls, and then just the way that the neighbors act. And
Henry
then
Gibson wanting the skulls.
The way that Tom Hanks kind of loses his mind.
What is he doing with the skulls?
Yeah, what's going on?
Decorating, maybe?
It's like they're predators or something.
Yeah, collection. Four houses burned to the ground.
It's just creepy stuff. It's just... And the whole, like...
Shit, the face. The figurehead. The figurehead on that furnace was enough to freak me out.
Yeah, definitely some freaky stuff in this movie.
It reminded me of the mad scientist from Robot Chicken, kind of.
Yeah, a little
with
bit.
With his hair swept back. I almost wanted to see it start vibrating. Twitching. Of course.
I mean, I gotta wonder. I don't remember. I don't think this movie bombed, right?
I don't know.
I can't imagine it did that well. It's just a little too weird. It's a little too morbid. A little too dark. It's got some bits of comedy, but it's kind of a mess in terms of what it's doing. It's simple and straightforward, but I don't know. Something about the way the characters behave. Like I said, it's something very cynical about Bruce Dern and Tom Hanks and all of them kind of being very paranoid. And then Tom Hanks has got this, like, ulcer or something that they kind of allude to where his stomach doesn't feel good, so he doesn't feel like eating. And you never know.
He drinks too much.
You really never know what's wrong with him. I guess he drinks too much. You see him trying to kill that six-pack, having a nap outside.
Yep.
But that's all that you ever really see him drinking, I guess. I don't know. And his relationship with his wife is like strained the whole time. They're yelling at each other almost all the time.
Marriage.
Yeah, but it's like a little bit overdone or something.
Yeah, you could feel the child's pain and the issues he's
going. You know that the kid was going to totally give him. I learned it from watching you, Dad. You know, just a few years away from that.
Snorting coke off of hookers' asses and stuff.
Probably.
And then beating him.
That's the part he learned from watching
like
Dad.
Like that ShamWow dude.
Just like the ShamWow guy. Wow. Way to pull out that old chestnut, huh? Polish it off.
Polish it.
ShamWow.
I never actually saw the ShamWow commercial because that was during the period where I didn't have TV.
You missed out.
I did, but I heard about it. And it's just so much fun to say. It just makes you want to buy three for $19.95.
And something like that.
The freakiest.
And the little one for your car or whatever.
The little one you can put in your glove box and forget about it until you sell your car.
Yeah, good point.
And it's like melted to the dashboard.
Ooh,
yeah.
Bad place.
With the gum and the candy.
Bad
place. The dust bunnies.
Bad place.
They're all having a little circus.
Mm-hmm. No, not a good time.
You remember that old Looney Tunes episode where... I think it was Porky Pig was like an agent or something, and he's trying out all these different acts. They're like auditioning for him, and there was the dog that had the traveling flea circus.
Oh my god!
And it'd hop off of him, and then
I don't remember that. But
they have like the Calliope
creepy.
And shit.
Calliope, okay. Wow, they jump in the shark with that one. It sounds like. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, it's in that '80s realm of just bizarre movies that are. Not really good, but you kind of have to give them more credit than due because they tried something and they did something.
I got a lot of enjoyment out of this movie as a child. And
yeah.
That makes us aces.
I think I saw it like once or twice as a kid and I enjoyed it. I think I remember with the folks enjoying it, watching
it. Isn't it one of those, you know, Saturday afternoon kind of movies?
Yeah, definitely. Saturday evening, Sunday evening, whatever.
A little popcorn,
a little chilling with the folks.
A little jelly bean.
It's a pretty harmless movie. There's not a lot of, except it is very morbid too, which is weird. It's like it's kind of funny,
because
but
burn up
then,
dead bodies.
Then it turns. Well, yeah,
it's like
a trunk full
of sudden.
A trunk full of skulls.
We never did find out what their nationality was.
That's
could be Nazis again.
Well, the brother Theodore was the voice in Das Lied Einhorn.
Let's see, there's all kind of it all leads back to Germany.
Das Lied Einhorn, but
well,
that was West Germany. West Germany.
It's like a little
AOK.
AOK.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, back, yeah, this is the whole wall falling.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It was a tumultuous.
Tumultuous.
Blank.
Yeah.
Blank.
It was a lot of blanking around. Ain't nobody a lot of blanking around.
Old Wendy. I mean,
Why don't you leave it alone, huh?
I can't.
It's a fine lady.
She was a fine lady.
Well, there you
is,
go.
Is.
Sure.
Is. Though she did play the bad girl in her space.
Well, it happens. It happens.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a while. I could stand to see Interspace again.
I haven't seen that.
It does get kind of tedious because of the Martin Shortness. I mean, Martin Short is just very difficult to take
back when
in long doses.
Cute,
that's why it's called Short. His name kind of warns you.
So this was, you know, Corey Feldman apparently, for some mysterious reason, didn't make it into Secret of the Ooze. But he brought it back for the third one.
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time.
Where they had that fat guy and they put him in the cage. That. And they're like, hey. They're like, hey, don't forget to pack a lunch.
I was never...
Elias Koteas returned. It's Casey Jones. No blank? Yeah, no blank.
Who played...
April?
April, yeah.
I think it was the same woman that replaced the other one from the first one and the second one. I think it was the same woman in the second one that played April.
Well, wasn't the first one somebody somewhat famous?
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen her in anything.
No, I think it was.
I don't think I ever saw her in anything ever after that.
No, big, big.
And, you know, for your entertainment dollar, you can be a chooser. And I'd say if you have seen The Burbs, then you probably don't need to see it again. But,
you know, For $5, $5 bargain bin, I'd say
bargain bin at the gas station. Yeah, you gotta go
with
for
the old Willy tapes,
with Willy tapes and whatnot,
and the Waylon tapes.
Yeah, some Waylon
and some Conway Twitty.
Conway Twitty, possibly
Anne Murray, baby, if you're lucky.
I don't know. Anne Murray is hard to come by.
That's true.
But yes,
wasn't she a Canuck?
That's very likely.
Yeah.
But, wow. But yeah, I would give it a 2.5.
I'm giving it a 3.
There we go.
There's
no Philo in it, but you know, it'll do a number. It's okay.
Yeah, you see, I can never see myself watching that again. 5-10 years from now, I'll watch Burbs. I will.
I don't know if I'll ever watch either of them again, but I'll remember and maybe use in other stories more material from things like Any Which Way You Can and Any Which
Way
We Lose.
There are a lot of great references in this.
You know, there are a lot.
The movies,
Joe Dante.
You had Mr. Rogers.
And you had I Love Lucy stuff.
I Love Lucy stuff. I didn't
because that guy was on most shows, that old guy.
And
you had the Gremlins serial.
Yeah, the Gremlins serial. And you had...
Because Joe Dante directed Gremlins.
You had Race with the Devil with Warren Oates and Peter Fonda.
That's right.
And you had... Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 with Stretch and Leatherface getting on.
That's right.
In fact, that was this right around the scene that I was talking to you about the other day with the chainsaw F blanking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was
That's right hardcore. Around.
Yeah, it was... Oh, man. We gotta watch that one.
I don't know if I can handle that. It's got delicate sensibilities and stuff.
Well, you know, you close your eyes.
I close my eyes. It's like I do with Temple of Doom every time when Molderon pulls out the heart.
Man, that freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah, oof.
That and the alligators. Oh, well, and the bugs.
Snap, snap.
There was a lot of gross shit in that.
A lot of gross blank.
A lot of gross blank.
Indeed.
The snake. Yeah. The snake to this day, I have a hard time watching that. It just gives me the creepy crawlies. It's when he just needs another one of those tanks of like kerosene or something. Just start pumping it up and just spray the whole blanket.
Why did it have to be snakes?
I forgot all about that. There were all kinds of reasons he hated snakes.
I think the only reason he hated snakes was, they explained in Last Crusade, was when he ended up in that circus, train car with the vipers.
With the vipers.
He just got traumatized, and that was it for him. Because up till then, he didn't care. And even in Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, I don't think they gave many reasons for it. Yeah,
traumatized.
It all, they saved it for that part.
And the one water snake.
That viper was like, yeah, that would, you're done for at that
you're
point.
You're done for.
Yeah, you're like, no more things, no worms, no snakes.
River Phoenix, what a shame.
Yes. Explorers. Joe Dante directed Explorers with River Phoenix.
Yeah, you were talking
and
about
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
It's a good one. It's fun. That's
Ethan
a fun
Hawke
kid movie.
Before
all of that.
No, before all of that. Before
For Reality Bites and all
Reality that. Bites, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was
and thinking. Gattaca.
Gattaca. Oh, right. Was that Jude Law?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. Bullshoot.
Yeah.
Like deep blank.
It's pretty crazy stuff.
That is some crazy wild stuff.
But it's all very interesting. I like Gattaca a lot. I'd like to watch Gattaca.
You know, I bought that. I watched it once and then I bought it and I haven't watched it. You could definitely sympathize with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a lot of stuff that I haven't watched since I bought it.
I still haven't done the Matrices.
Matrices, as Mr. Roney would call them, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
But no, my...
Too much from the pizza dude. Pizza dude's here. Pizza dude did finally show up in like a van full of pizza.
I was like, man, how much is that bill? It's like 20 pizzas in there.
Oh, it was the 80s. Who cared?
It really like Domino. No, it was like a private thing.
It was Uncle Enzo.
Uncle Enzo. But, okay, so, you know, that's, even at $5 a pop.
That's a lot of pizza. That's all pop. That's all pop.
And pizza was always expensive. I can't remember
no,
a time
you're right.
when
pizza
it
was always like...
It was at least, it was over 10.
Yeah, it's 10 now. Apparently, like, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, whatever, it's like, get one for 10 now. The pizza competition is happening with this tight economy.
Yeah, I know Stephen Roundtable. I think they got all kinds of crazy deals.
It's time to capitalize. Season of pizza.
And I'm starting to think they're starting to cheapen up their pizza a little bit, and it's starting to piss me off. I'm wondering about
Well, they got to watch their bottom line, too, you know?
Yeah, we'll just charge. Well, you
that's
know,
just it. And no
and
one
that's can
afford
the crazy
it.
Thing because their pizzas were getting insanely expensive.
The Roundtable was kind of.
It'd be
expensive.
Like you could, it wasn't impossible to do a $30 pizza.
Yeah, I don't know. I always thought the crust for Roundtable pizza was a little too dry.
What about
and
the skinny? You didn't like the skinny.
Well, it was just. No,
you
I
didn't
know.
Like the pan crust.
I don't know. Roundtable never quite did it for me. There was what always did? Something kind what of acidic. Did?
All that crap cardboard shit blank you like.
I like, yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's the cardboard stuff. I got bad taste.
Well,
we're talking about tastes now? We're talking about taste?
Do you ever make your own pizzas?
I've made my own pizzas in my brick oven that I got.
Well, you used to make that crazy traditional, like Northern Italy traditional something or other with the olive oil and that.
Oh, yeah.
And, like
I'd put on Sylvester Stallone's Oscar. In the background, I'd have that on, of course, and then I would make some pizzas.
That sounds good. Oh man, I haven't done the cheapo Winco pizza making fixings in a while. That was good. I mean, you could make two like large/extra large pizzas for like $6, and they were good.
If they're good, then yeah, Winco.
Yeah, a little heavy-handed, though, because I, you know...
Yeah, you go too far.
I go too far with the cheese, because I like... You do 2-3 types of cheese, at least.
Oh, yeah, as long as it's, like, actually...
And I do layers. You see, the key is to put the pepperoni under the cheese.
So all that grease is trapped.
It's trapped, but then it doesn't, you know, get turned up on the edges and get all crunchy and...
Mm.
And a lot of times it just turns into carbon.
I get you. That's no good.
No, it's not good. It's carcinogen.
It's bad for you.
It's very bad.
We talked a lot about pizza on this podcast, but that's okay. It's part of being in the burbs. Yeah, I brought up Donatello. And
the pizza dude.
Pizza dude.
Which had to be expounded upon.
Uh-huh.
That was a lot of pizza, though.
It was.
Yeah, those boxes looked like they might have been empty. I don't know.
Yeah, they probably didn't actually. Maybe it was pizza for the crew. It was blank you pie for the crew. That's what the crew calls it. Apparently movie crews don't like to be fed with pizza. They get hoity-toity about it because it's too easy or something. They want Maine lobster or something.
Who said that?
Someone told me that on a movie set, that's what they call them. And I'm like, really? Let it go. Come on.
That'd be like you're happy if you get hot dogs, bitches.
Yeah, I would think so. But I guess if you're a big deal crew people, then you're obliged to whine. Otherwise, no one will treat you like anything, right? You never graduate up if you don't bitch and whine.
Graduate on out.
Graduate on out, that's right.
On your bootstraps.
No kidding. The handout's what the government gives you. Hand up's what a friend gives you.
You're damn right.
See, I'm going to remember that and can use it.
I was telling that. I was sharing that at work today.
It's good stuff.
It got a round of applause.
Really?
Like it should have.
Some tears?
Some tears, yeah.
And applause? Oh my God.
I feel like crying at work sometimes.
Wow.
I know.
You share that with the listening audience now?
Why not?
Just let it go. Just let it go.
It's just seeping out.
Is it the loneliness in your heart, the emptiness?
No, it's the frustration.
Frustration?
The loneliness.
I don't know. Usually people cry out of desperation and depression.
Desperation, depression,
you know, loneliness. Not getting their blank blanked.
They're not getting their blank blanked. They're dry humping the furniture.
Yeah.
Well, I like to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that right now.
Okay. You need to get more plastic.
Definitely. Big old rolls of like the industrial shrink wrap. Shrink wrap a car.
Yeah, you just cut a hole in it.
You could, I guess.
Yeah.
Criminy.
Yep.
I feel like there should be more to talk to about this Burbs movie, but really.
Well, we covered Wendy Shaw. We covered the pizza dude.
We covered everything. Covered the great days of Tom Hanks.
Well, he got to bring up the garbage man.
Yes, the garbage men. We have Dick, oh God, what is his name? Dick Riley? Something. No, the guy, he was in Gremlins and Gremlins 2. Dick Miller, yeah.
Yeah, he's a lot of stuff. He's the guy Terminator wasted in the gun shop.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. So what are you going to do? You can't do that now? You can't do that now? Yes. You going to use it? I'm going to use it.
Only what you see, pal.
Mm-hmm. Only what you see, pal. And then Robert Picardo is in it.
Perfect for home defense.
Robert Picardo is, I guess, supposed to be an invert because he's got the rainbow patch on his thing. But they never really get into that. It's just like an inside joke on the in the movie or something, I guess. It doesn't really matter. He talks about like how people have rights. The Supreme Court ruled that garbage is public
and
property.
The button. Can't forget the button.
The button for McCarthy. The ironic button, I guess, he had for McCarthy. Yeah, so definitely some stuff going on with Picardo and with Dick Miller. And Star Trek Voyager fans will know Wendy Shaw was actually on an episode of Voyager, and she played Robert Picardo, who was the holographic doctor. She played his wife in that episode.
Wow, that's digging.
That's there. That's what we do on the Futile Podcast.
We dig.
We dig and we find. Just like Geraldo, who was going to get called in to investigate the whole big media event and circus that the place had become.
You know, strange, all the crazy crap I remember as a child. I don't remember the big media event of Al Capone's fall.
I don't remember it either. Probably because it really wasn't much of one.
Nah, either that or it was advertised too late. I don't know.
It's possible.
Though I did get to stay up late to watch Moonlighting occasionally.
Nice.
Yeah.
Moonlighting. I would always try to stay up late just late enough to see the opening of Miami Vice, because I love that theme song by Jan Hammer. Which means I got to see like the opening few minutes, because it was one of those things where they'd show the opening of it, like what happened, they'd set up the murder or the intrigue or whatever.
What
and
was
then
it
they
with
would
cops and Ferraris in the 80s?
Well, what do you mean? Equalizer was not a cop. He drove a Jag. Yeah. Yeah, Jaguar.
No, he had Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Okay.
And Magnum P.I., of course.
That was the Ferrari in Magnum?
Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
It was a Ferrari 308. Good otherwise point. Known as the Magnum P.I. Ferrari.
But that was Higgins' car, though, right?
I never quite figured that one out. Of course, it's probably been a good 15-plus years since I watched an episode proper.
Hmm.
So...
Yeah.
And the Magnum P.I. helicopter.
With Rick.
Yeah.
And T.C.
He was a black guy, right? With the...
Yeah. Person of color.
The person of color.
There could... I mean, this movie, I think, could do with a remake. Especially now that there's been all these reality crime shows and all that creepy, like...
Well, they were
like
remaking...
Stuff.
Weren't they remaking the classic Hitchcock...
Rear Window?
Yeah, Rear Window.
It's very similar to that. It's definitely essentially like a comedic version of that to a degree. I think let's not remake Rear Window. Let's not remake a Hitchcock classic, but let's take The Burbs and update it.
They did Psycho.
That was a shot-for-shot redo by Gus Van Sant. It was different only in like one shot, I think. And it was almost like a technical experiment.
I think really. I remember hearing about that, and he did the shot the way...
would have if he had the technology, right, or something like that. Yeah, I was never too interested in all that. But I think, yeah, it could be...
Don't do the horror thing.
It could be... No, it could be interesting to do... No, I just mean that... To do... to redo the Burbs. I'd be interested in what they could do with it. They could make it very crazy and weird.
Could they bring back Wendy Shaw?
Maybe Suburbia with Shia was a remake of the Burbs and it just flew under my radar.
What about...
And Colonel Potter wasn't there either.
Colonel Potter.
Back to Tom Hanks and Dragnet.
Oh, Henry. Yeah, Henry.
Henry.
I used to watch Dragnet.
What do you mean? How do you follow? Dragnet?
You know, he was in the second... Like,
yeah, he was the second partner, but he was in the majority of the episodes, I think.
Yeah.
With what's his name? The creator and Webb, main guy,
Jack Webb.
I've seen the Dragnet movie. Both movies. There's the actual movie of the TV show. It was
like a 70s movie.
I think it's like just a pilot or something. It's like a 60-minute jobber. I used to watch Dragnet and Mork and Mindy. And Get Smart. Those were the three Nick at Night shows I would watch. Like one summer, I'd just sit there sunburned after playing around outside and swimming in the swimming pool and stuff. And I'd watch those shows and fall asleep. The purest kind of sleep. That sun-drenched, exhausted sleep that you'd have, you know?
The sleep of small children and animals, basically.
Basically, yeah.
I'll never have that again.
Never again. Yes. Might have the sleep of old men and beat up bodies. Get the Tempur-Pedic, maybe. If the Tempur-Pedic could promise to bring back the sleep of small children, they could use that as a marketing ploy. They could be like, get this bed and you'll sleep like a little child. But then like half of it gets like missed.
And then they cut to Nightmare on Elm Street.
You'll sleep with a child, yeah.
With
Freddy?
With Freddy, with the brains.
Yeah, you got the body and I got the brain.
That was two, though. And I was thinking of poor old Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
When the bed eats him.
Uh-huh, the waterbed.
And then just vomits his blood.
Straight up.
That was cool.
Captain Jack Sparrow. That would sell. Captain Jack Sparrow didn't parlay well on that one, did he?
No.
Hope you like penicillin on your pizza.